If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5 is where we'll be at starting off tonight. And we'll be looking at the first 12 verses of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse number 1. The Bible says here, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do come before you tonight, and we thank you, Lord, that you have established this place that we can meet together, where we can look into your word, where we can see what you have for us and just learn of you. And Father, I thank you that we can meet together and encourage one another in spiritual things, and just help each other to grow and draw close to you. Now, Father, as we look into your word, as we study the scriptures, Lord, I just pray, Father, you'd help me to, as it's been prayed already, just to say the things you want me to say. Help my thoughts to flow smoothly. Help it to be coherent. And help me to convey the truth that I think that you would like to convey to your people tonight. And I pray that we'll be challenged. I pray, Lord, that we'll be encouraged. And we'll go forward, Lord, with a greater desire to draw close to you. And we ask these things now in Jesus' name, amen. Now, as most of you, I assume, know, a little over a month ago, my niece, Hannah Glass, passed away and went to be home with the Lord. And this was the result of a peanut allergy she had and eating something that contained peanut flour. And she spent about a week in the hospital as doctors were trying to preserve her life and trying to keep her alive. And as word got out that Hannah was in dire straits, there was an outpouring of love and support from friends and family and just from other peers that Hannah had, reaching out to her parents, Dave and Janine Glass. Just offering up their prayers, words of encouragement, scripture, offering up, is there anything they can do to help? Well, as you can imagine, with that, there's this curiosity people had with what's going on. People want to be updated on what's happening with Hannah. Is she recovering? Is she going to make it? You know, what's happening? And so to try to satisfy that curiosity that people had, my brother-in-law and sister decided to create a Facebook page in Hannah's name in which they would daily keep people updated. And about halfway through the week, my brother-in-law, David, he's the one that does most of the posting, he had put a post, and at the end of his post, he finished it by saying these three words. He said, "We are blessed." And then as the days continued and they turned into weeks, and as it looked as though Hannah wasn't going to make it, in his post he would share just his real raw, deep, sincere emotions. And you could see and feel the pain that they were going through, the hurt they were feeling as a parent losing a child. And, you know, during that time, many people would come up to me and say, I can't imagine going through that. And, you know, you can imagine it, but you can't really fathom it until you're going through it yourself. But yet, despite all that, At the end of every single one of his posts, he finishes it by saying, "We are blessed." And then since the time that Hannah had passed away, in my own Bible reading, I started coming across several verses of scripture that would say, "Blessed is the man that," dot, dot, dot. Or, "Blessed is the nation that," dot, dot, dot. And you can fill in the blank. But I started thinking to myself, what does it mean to be blessed? What does it mean to be blessed? Now, I have been in church all my life. I went to a Bible college, and I've heard much teaching and speaking on this passage here and what it means to be blessed. In this passage specifically, every time you see the word blessed, if you look in a Greek dictionary or lexicon or a commentary, they're all going to tell you that the Greek word there, which is makarios, that it means happy. And it's everywhere I looked, it's just everyone says it means happy. And I always thought, okay, I got it. I've even heard preachers say that you could take the word blessed there and you could replace it with the word happy, where you could go through the Beatitudes here and say, happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and you're not going to lose the meaning of what the writer is trying to convey. And I've always just thought, okay, I've always just believed that. But then I started thinking about my brother-in-law and my sister when they say, we are blessed. And I thought to myself, well, can they do that? Can they take that word happy and put it in place of blessed? I was talking to my sister on Sunday, and I was kind of just telling her what I was planning on preaching about and just kind of going over these thoughts. And I was leading up to asking her the question, can you guys say we are happy? And as I'm formulating those words in my mouth, and even before I speak it, my sister develops this very stern look on her face, and she starts shaking her head. And then I finally get the question out. Are you guys, can you guys say we are happy? And my sister said, no, we are not. We're not happy. But they are blessed. And I thought, that's so interesting. So what does it mean to be blessed? And I've just been puzzling it over my mind, trying to fully understand, because everywhere you look, everything says blessed means happy. In fact, if you have a study Bible in your lap, if you look in the margins, it probably will tell you blessed means happy. Well, I was looking through all my commentaries and all my Bible study guides that I have, and then I found this, and I forgot that I even had it. But this is a King James Bible, and it says a Hebrew-Greek keyword Bible study. And I looked up this passage, and I like to just read to you a little bit what the writer says about it. I can't find a name, so I don't know who's responsible for this information, but he says this. He says, the Greek word translated blessed is makarioi, which means to be fully satisfied. In the New Testament, the term is used of the joy that comes from salvation. This satisfaction is not the result of favorable circumstances in life. It comes only from being indwelt by Christ. Therefore, it would be wrong to translate makarioi, happy, because it is connected with luck or favorable circumstances. Now, I don't know if this guy is right or not, because this is the only guy that's saying that. But as I read that, I think, yeah, my brother-in-law, my sister, they're not happy. But when I talk to them, they're satisfied, because they're satisfied in their Lord. They're satisfied with their Savior. Now, he mentions in here that it's wrong to use happy, to translate it happy, because happiness is connected to favorable circumstances. Now, let me ask you a question. Can you say here tonight that you are blessed? Can you say that you are blessed? And if you say, yes, I can say that I'm blessed, Let me ask you a follow-up question, and that is, what makes it so? What makes it that you are blessed? Now, I've kind of already alluded to the answer, and that is, it is our faith in Christ. It's our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But sometimes when a pastor comes up here and he says, we're going to do something different tonight, we're going to give you guys a chance to give a testimony or to share something that God has blessed you with. What are some of those blessings that people oftentimes might refer to? Sometimes people might just say they're, of course, they're blessed by their salvation, which we should all say right out of the gate. But sometimes we might mention our friends. We might mention our family, the love and the support group we have there. We might mention that we're in good health. We might say a blessing is that we've got our finances in order. We've got money in the bank. We might mention the fact that we have a home to go to. We have a roof over our heads, a place to stay warm, especially with when it's getting cold like this. We might mention it's a blessing to be in America, where we have the freedoms that we have. And there's probably like an infinite number of things that we might stamp and say, you know what, I am blessed because of this. Now, each of these things, they are blessings. They are blessings from the Lord, but they don't necessarily mean that we are blessed in those things. Because these things that I mentioned, like our health and our family and friends and finances and living in a free country, all these things are our blessings, but these are favorable circumstances because these things can be taken away from us. And if we put all of our hope and all of our confidence in those things, and we look to those things, I am blessed because of the fact that I've got this great support group in my family. Should something tragic happen and they no longer be there, then what are you going to look to as being what is a blessing in your life? There's nothing else is there. So what makes us blessed then is when we have that one blessing that cannot be taken away. And that one blessing that cannot be taken away is our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Now, I've been talking to, as I mentioned, I was talking to my sister and I was talking to my brother-in-law as well on Sunday about what they mean when they say that they are blessed. And after we had our conversation, because my brother-in-law, he's still posting things on Facebook. Every single day he goes on there and he posts something. And every day he finishes by saying, we are blessed. And so I noticed the other day, one of his posts was all about giving, I guess, a thorough explanation of what it means when they say we are blessed. So, and I just want to read you a little bit what he said. He said this. He said, being blessed is not about a circumstance. It is not something that we should say only when things are good and going our way. It is a position that we have as believers in Christ. And so as we think about what does it mean to be blessed, the writer of this, the notes in this Bible says that it is being fully satisfied. And I feel like that fits with what it means to be blessed, because when we look at our relationship with God through Christ, that satisfies, because it is always going to be there. We can always rely upon it. We can always count upon it to bring us through the difficult times in life. Whereas the other things we might look at, those favorable circumstances, they might not always be there. Might always be something that we can stand upon. Now, I had us turn to the Beatitudes tonight, because Beatitudes are, as we look at our relationship with God, that is where we have our blessedness. It is through that relationship with God. And we have here in the Beatitudes, we have these Beatitudes, they describe the inner qualities of a follower of Christ and the promise of his blessings in the future. In other words, the Beatitudes, they don't show a person how they can be saved. They demonstrate the characteristics of someone who has been saved. So if we are saved, these qualities that we read about in this Beatitude, in the Beatitudes, they ought to be evident in our life. Or if they're not, at least they ought to be something that it is a desire of our heart, that we desire to be these things. And as we apply them to our life as Christians, then we have God's blessing upon us. So real quick, let's just kind of go through them real quick and see what we can learn. So in verse number 3, we are told, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, this phrase, poor in spirit, it has the idea of being helpless. And when it comes to us in a relationship to God, it is a realization of our own spiritual helplessness. There's nothing that we can do to help ourselves. We need something that is bigger and more powerful than us, and that thing that is bigger and more powerful than us is our God, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we go to him for our spiritual help, it says that theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The blessing from that is that we inherit the kingdom of heaven. We have a future home in heaven, something to look forward to. We have that hope. We have that confidence that we can be in heaven with God forever. Second on here, in verse number 4, he says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." When it talks about those that mourn, it's referring to those who sorrow after their sin and the sins of others. And when we come and when we look into our sinful heart and we see our sin and we sorrow over it, hopefully it's going to cause us to go to our Lord and to bring about confession. And it does say that at the end of the verse, it says, "For they shall be comforted." Have you ever gone through life and done something stupid, committed some sin that you really regretted and you really felt bad about it, and maybe you went through the day not dealing with it the way you should have, and there's just like this ugliness that just kind of follows you throughout the day? You just feel kind of down, kind of upset with yourself. But when we deal with it properly and then take it to the Lord and confess it and forsake it, he gives us that forgiveness. And it's like that weight has been lifted off of us. And then we have that comfort. In verse 5, he mentions, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The word meekness is, when that is in a person, it is demonstrated by a mild, a gentleness of spirit or humility. I've heard it defined before, it is a power or right under control. Now we see this in our Lord Jesus Christ. When he went to the cross to die for our sins, he had the power and he had the right to come off that cross and to summon a legion of angels to free himself of that torment that he was going through. But he didn't. He demonstrated meekness so that he could do what the Father's will was. And when we as Christians, as saved people, when we have meekness, then we have that blessing that we shall share in the kingdom of God on earth. Someday we're going to reign on earth with him if we are meek in our time here. On verse 6, he goes on and says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." After realizing our own spiritual helplessness and sorrowing over our own sin, there ought to be a deep yearning within us to have God's righteousness and to seek after that, that we want to have his righteousness manifested in our life. And if we pursue after that and we draw close to God seeking that, we are promised with the blessing that we shall be filled with it. We will have God's righteousness. We'll start taking on God's attributes and be righteous. In verse 7, he says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Again, as we go through our Christian life and we draw close to God, we realize that God is constantly being merciful to us. And as he is constantly being merciful to us, it ought to lead us to want to be merciful to others, because there are people all around us who are hurting, people who are struggling, maybe with sin, maybe with outside circumstances in life, and we see the agony they're going through. We can be merciful to them. And then as we are merciful then to them, then God is then even more merciful to us. As we see at the end of the verse, where it says, they shall obtain mercy. Verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Again, as we draw nearer to God, our sinfulness is going to be more and more revealed. You know, the Bible tells us that God is light. And if we as sinful people draw closer to him, his light is going to shine more and more on our life. And as we draw closer to him, we're going to start to see things that maybe we didn't see before, maybe attitudes, maybe motives, maybe things that we've been kept secret or dormant for a long time. But as we draw close to God, those things are going to be revealed to us. And as they are revealed, hopefully we are confessing those things to the Lord. And as we confess it, we are seeking cleansing, and that cleansing then will purify our hearts. And when our hearts are purified, then we have a better way to see the Lord. We can see God for who he is, and we can have a better understanding of who he is, what his expectations of us are. In verse 9, we see that it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, this just simply means that as Christians, as people who have put our faith and trust in Christ, we have peace with God. And as a result, we ought to attempt to share that with others. There's a world out there of people who, they don't have any peace. They're in constant turmoil. They're angry, they're upset. You see that just driving on the road, interacting with coworkers, neighbors. People are upset. People are angry all the time. They have no peace. But those of us that have that peace with God ought to take that to them, to share that with them. And it's interesting there that the blessing from being a peacemaker is that we shall be called the children of God. When we are peacemakers, people are going to identify us as children of God. They're going to see us like, you know what? I wonder if they're a Christian. They're always trying to, you know, bring about peace in my life. They're trying to help me out with my struggles. And that is a blessing. And then in verse 10, it says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So when we follow God, we're going to stand out. If we try to do what God wants us to do, we're going to look different to everybody else. We're going to be, hopefully, godly. We're hopefully going to be holy, be set apart from everybody else. I'm reminded of 2 Timothy 3:12, where it says that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, the blessing that I see from this is that this world is not our home. Someday, God's going to call us out of here where we don't have to deal with all that persecution and all that ugliness, and we get to be with our Lord forever. Now, these blessed proclamations are only to the saved, and they cannot be taken away. This ought to satisfy us, knowing that these blessings are guaranteed. All these blessings that we went through that are associated with these qualities of being a Christian, they're ours. We cannot have them removed from us. And therefore, as a result of that, we ought to strive to draw close to God as best we can, to confess sin and walk with him daily so we can continue to have his blessings being poured out upon us. Now, in closing, as I mentioned, I was noticing a lot of verses in the Bible that mentioned, blessed is the man that does this, or blessed is the person that does this. And so I looked it up, and I, as best as I could calculate, there are 62 verses in the Bible that say that, that have a statement of, blessed is the one, dot, dot, dot. There's 28 in the Old Testament and 34 in the New Testament. The thing I want to kind of draw our attention to tonight with these is that they're not random. And what I mean by that is, it's not like God is just closing his eyes and saying, you know what, I'm going to bless someone today, and all right, and points at someone and says, I'm going to bless them. If you go back and you look at all these, blessed is the man that, whatever, there is a requirement attached to it. There is a condition that is there. So in order for that person, that individual, to receive that blessedness, they have to be meeting that requirement. Now, as I said, there were 62 verses in the Bible that say that or something along those lines. However, three of them don't necessarily say that. And I'll kind of get into it a little bit. But just as a way of an example, I wrote some of them down. That to kind of say that. We'll look at a few of them, I think, because I think we have time. Let's go to Psalm 33:12. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Now, I know this is talking about a nation, a whole people group, but I feel like this can be applied to us as individuals as well. And so the condition here is, in order for you to receive that blessedness from the Lord, is that we have to make sure that our God is the Lord. And sometimes, even though we might be saved, we might have put our faith and trust in Christ, sometimes God is not always the God of our life. Sometimes we allow other things, other ambitions, other hopes and dreams to take that place of God in our life. Maybe it might be friendships, maybe it might be a relationship, maybe it might be money. And we set money up or whatever it might be in place of God, and we make that God and not the Lord himself. And so when we do that, we are missing out on being blessed. Yes, we're saved, but I believe God still has blessings he wants to share with us. Let's look over at Psalm 106, verse 3. There's quite a few in the Psalms. Psalm 106, verse 3. Here the Bible says, "Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times." Here we see that the condition that has to be met is that we have to be keeping judgment. That means being just. Also, it says there that we do righteousness at all times. Kind of goes back to the Matthew, the Beatitude there. Let's see here. Let's try Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 32, 1 and 2. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile." For us to receive this blessedness, when we realize there's a transgression in our life, we need to seek out the Lord's face. We need to seek out that forgiveness. And when we do that, when we have our sins covered, then we will be blessed. Let's try Matthew 11:6. We'll do this one, and then I'll share with you a couple of the ones that they're a little bit different. Matthew chapter 11. In verse 6. Matthew 11, verse 6. Here it says, "And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me." Here we have the Lord Jesus talking, and he's telling his disciples that he has a blessing for us if we won't be offended in him. When we're out and about in our workplaces, talking to our neighbors, talking to people around us, are we offended in our Lord? Are we embarrassed to tell people we're a Christian? If we're able to stand up boldly for him and speak out and proclaim who he is and that he loves people and he loves the people we're talking to, then we're going to be blessed. Now, I mentioned that most of these verses that say that blessed are the person that does this, most of them refer to a person, and it talks, gives a condition or requirement that they have to meet in order to receive that blessedness from the Lord. But there's at least three of them that I saw where it isn't necessarily worded that way. And so let's look at the first one. Let's go to Psalm 65, verse 4. Now, this one kind of sounds like where God just closed his eyes and just decided to pick somebody. But I think there's an explanation for it. Psalm 65, verse 4. Here it says, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple." Now, this one certainly seems like that we, as Christians, we don't have any responsibility here. There's no requirement for us. God's just going to randomly choose somebody. But if you look at the end of the verse, it says, "And causes to approach unto thee that he may dwell in thy courts." If you would turn over to Psalm 24, and it also mentions that we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple. But in Psalm 24, let's start reading in verse number 3. It says, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place?" Then it says, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from God of his salvation." So who is the Lord choosing? Who is the Lord choosing to cause approach unto himself? He's not just choosing some random person on earth. He's choosing those people who have clean hands. They keep short sin accounts. They don't allow sin to collect in their life. They have a pure heart. And they are not lift up their soul to vanity nor sworn deceitfully. This is something that we, you and I can do. This is a requirement upon us, a condition that we can meet. With that, let me just read to you Psalm 4:3. It says, "But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him." So even though verse 4 in Psalm 65 makes it sound like God's just choosing some random person, he's really not. God's choosing someone who's decided that they're going to draw close to him, that they're going to walk with him and live right. Let's do one more, and then I'll let you guys go. If you would, turn over to Psalm 94. Psalm 94. And when you get to Psalm 94, we'll look at verse number 12. Psalm 94:12 says, "Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law." So this one sounds a little funny because it sounds like blessed is the man whom thou chastenest. So when is the Lord going to chasten us? He's going to chase us when we're not doing right, when we've got sin in our life. So does that mean that God is going to bless us when we do wrong, when we sin? Well, no, of course not. That would be silly. But there is an explanation, and for that, let's turn over for Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And one thing that I noticed, too, with all these that I looked up and read, all of them have to deal with our relationship with God, our standing with God, how we relate to him. Some of them, there are several verses that say, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." Again, that has to deal with our relationship with him. As we deal with sin, that deals with our relationship with him. But here in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, in verse 5, starting in verse 5, it says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And then verse 8, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. So, who is receiving the chastisement of the Lord? It's his children. It's those who have put their faith and trust in Christ and him. So while it might sound like, well, there's nothing I have to do with being chastened, well, yes, there is, because first we have to put our faith and trust in Christ. We have to believe upon him and become a child of God. So I guess the thing I want to challenge you with tonight is, first and foremost, are you blessed tonight? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And as we went through some of these verses that talk about being blessed, really, if we want to be blessed, it's up to us. It's our responsibility because God has given us a command. God has told us something to do. And if we want to be blessed, we can. It's not just a random thing that happens. It's a decision that we have to make. We have to make that choice that I am going to follow after the Lord and pursue him and do what he tells me to do. And then when we do that, the Bible tells us over and over again that we will be blessed. Let's close in a little Lord, a word of prayer.